BBC Radio is proud to present...
Despite the fatwa from the Conan Doyle Society...
The newly discovered casebook of Sherlock Holmes. The Journal of Dr. John H. Watson, late of the 5th Northumberland Fusiliers and twice voted most glamorous field surgeon on active duty. But that's another story. These notes are a record of my long association with that most brilliant of men, Sherlock Holmes, private detective, master of disguise, and toffee-nosed Ponce. In the year of 1886, Holmes was able to add to his long list of credentials the title, By Royal Appointment. That summer, we decided to take a holiday in the Highlands of Scotland, and on the third morning, over breakfast at our hostelry, we received a message that was to alter our plans considerably.
This haddock is quite delicious. What say you, Watson?
I would have much preferred to have eaten it in my room. I do not enjoy breakfasting in public. Everyone is staring at us.
That is because you're still in your nightgown and hair curlers.
Well, I had to hurry down or I'd have missed it entirely. Why do these places impose such restrictions on the guests? I mean, breakfast between 6:30 and 6:40 a.m. is preposterous.
People rise early in these parts, I'm happy to tell you, to benefit. To benefit from the clean air. Now stop whinging and eat your haddock.
I'm sure it's off.
Nonsense. Mine is fresh. In fact, the little devil just winked at me.
Excuse me, sir. Are you that most brilliant of private detectives and master of disguise?
I have that honor, my good man. Who are you?
I'm Hamish McHinney-Henny, the odd job man here, isn't it?
That's a Welsh accent, is it not?
I can't do Scottish.
Oh. What do you want, Hamish?
Well, this letter just arrived for you by the every other Thursday morning post. It's marked special delivery, which is why it was delivered 5 minutes earlier than usual.
Thank you very much, my man.
Will there be a tip?
No, there won't.
Stingy git. Wait till you see what I put in your cock-a-leaky soup tonight.
Ah, it's a letter from Mrs. Hudson. She says...
Dear Mr. Holmes and Dr. Watson, I'm sorry to disturb your frolickings on your little holiday, but soon after you left, a visitor called to see you. He said he was from Buckingham Palace, and as he looked a bit of a ponce, I believed him. Anyways, your services are urgently required because a matter of a very delicate nature has arisen concerning our most gracious queen. His words, not mine, as personally I think she's a sour-faced old crab. However, I digress. I told this toff where you are, so expect a visit from Royal Circle soon. Yours with knobs on, Mrs. Hudson.
Uncanny, Holmes. You sounded just like her.
Just another facet to my numerous talents, Watson. Mastery in disguise entails vocal dexterity as well as visual deception.
I suppose I'd better pack if we are to receive a royal summons back to London.
No need. This is the time of year Her Majesty resides at her Scottish residence close by. You know, the one she uses for Balmoral purposes. I didn't believe the other people at breakfast were listening there, didn't you?
Oh, I think our royal summons has just arrived. I wonder why Hamish is holding a megaphone in his hand.
Sherlock Holmes! Dr. Watson! The Royal Horse and Cart is here to take you to Balmoral on a secret mission.
Discretion is obviously not your middle name. Why don't you come over and tell us quietly?
Were you going to offer me a tip this time?
Certainly not.
Then I'm not wasting my shoe leather on you. You better hurry. The royal household doesn't like to be kept waiting.
You said horse and cart. I trust you meant carriage.
No, cart. It's the one the Queen sends out to collect manure for the Balmoral Gardens.
What was it you were saying about the clean air up here?
Be quiet, Watson, and put some clothes on.
Oh, I say, Holmes. Balmoral certainly has splendid bathrooms. Mm. These taps are real gold.
Well, I think it's a dead liberty insisting we ablute before seeing Her Majesty. Wasn't our fault we were transported here on a muck cart? Pass me the soap, will you?
Very well. Oh, I say. This soap's on a rope. Look, how novel.
Carved in the likeness of Oscar Wilde. Oh, interesting. Yes, well, I shall only be washing myself from the waist, Doctor. Watch where you're putting your big toe. Remember, I'm in the shallow end.
Yes, well, I've got the end with the plug hole.
Haven't you two finished yet?
Oh, I say, you could have waited till we said come in. Dash it all, Holmes hasn't got his clothes on.
So I see. And tell me, Doctor, do you always take your bath fully dressed?
When I'm sharing it, yes. I am of a somewhat modest nature.
My word. You're not, are you, Mr. Holmes?
May I ask who you are, sir?
A thousand apologies. I'm Parker Bowles, assistant to the Queen's private secretary. While you're toiling yourselves down, I shall put you in the picture. As you know, Her Majesty's been in deep mourning since the tragic loss of her beloved husband, the Prince Consort.
25 years ago.
Some people take longer to get over things. We're extremely concerned about her mental health. Recently, she's taken to roller skating around the castle. And last week, when the Prime Minister paid her a courtesy visit, she called him a roaring old ginger, then set fire to his side whiskers.
The sort of behavior one would expect from a 67-year-old monarch, I agree.
But surely this is a matter of her private physician. Why engage the services of Sherlock Holmes, the country's foremost private detective, master of disguise?
And Tuffy-nosed Ponce.
Along with his long-suffering assistant, Dr. John H. Watson, brilliant surgeon, official biographer, and bumbling old fart.
We've asked for your services because we believe there might be a more sinister reason for Her Majesty's eccentric behavior. Last week, she received this in the post.
A brown-stamped envelope, postmarked Camberwell, and addressed to Mrs. Victoria Saxe-Coburg, Queen and full-time widow, Dunn Ruling, 1 The Mall, London.
Dunn Ruling? But she's still our monarch.
Perhaps it's a subtle threat. The letter inside might throw further light on the matter. Dear Your Majesty, please can I have your autograph? To add to my list of public figures, I and my organization intend to assassinate. I will be much obliged, hoping this finds you, as it leaves me, a well-wisher.
By thunder, Holmes, that's a disgrace.
You're right, the spelling's atrocious. Look. This matter requires further investigation. Would it be possible to see Her Majesty?
I will summon her attention on the speaking tube to see if it's convenient. Oh, she must be engaged at the moment. She's put me on hold.
What's wrong?
Your Majesty, it's Parker Bowles here. I have Sherlock Holmes and his friend here. They crave an audience. She says, what's wrong with the one you've got? Her Majesty will see you now. She's through those doors there.
Holmes. Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson, do draw closer.
Ma'am, this is indeed an honor.
I do like your shower cap, Dr. Watson. It's very good. No matter. My husband and I are delighted you could both come.
Your husband?
Yes, Albert. I'll just get him out of his suitcase.
Pardon?
Come along, Albert. There. Are you quite comfortable?
Do you see what I see, Holmes?
Yes. A ventriloquist dummy in a spiked German helmet sitting on her knee.
Albert? Say hello to the nice gentleman.
Good Lord. I am very pleased to meet you.
Well, gentlemen, say hello to His Highness.
Humor her, Watson. Your Highness, it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Likewise, Your Highness.
Your Majesty, the anonymous threatening letter you received last week, was this the first one of its kind?
The first one sent to me, but Albert has received others. Haven't you, Albert?
Yes.
Anonymous threatening letters. One of them just had the alphabet written on it.
Would you like me to read it?
Oh, that would be most interesting, Albert. And while you're doing that, I will drink this glass of water. Are you ready?
I'm ready. A, D, C.
The poor woman is obviously suffering a mental breakdown here.
She's stark raving bonkers, Holmes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that was the correct medical term for it. Your Majesty, we won't disturb you any longer. Permit us to take our leave of you.
Oh, very well.
But before you go, Albert would like you to regale us with a song.
What?
You know some Scottish song, don't you?
Of course I do.
Then do this thing.
Thank you, Albert. And Dr. Watson shall accompany you on the bagpipes.
Do what?
Your Majesty, Dr. Watson, alas, is not as gifted as I am, particularly in the field of music. A windbag he may be, but not when it comes to blowing the pipes.
I can bash out the odd tune on the old Joanna, though.
Then get bashing, Thorncroft.
Yes, Your Highness.
For your delectation, ma'am, sir, Watson and I would like to render this plaintive Scottish air. I thank you. Put a bit of treacle on me pudding, Mary Ann, Mary Ann, Mary Ann, Mary Ann. Cover it, smother it, don't you stop, till you can't see the pudding for the treacle on the top. I like a pudding when a pudding is a good'un, and I don't want cake or jam. So put a bit of treacle on, treacle on, treacle on, treacle on me pudding, Mary Ann. Okay.
Excellent rendition of my favorite song, Mr. Holmes. And now it's time for Albert to have his nap.
Oh, dear.
I'm not going back in that fish.
Yes, you are. Come along in that case with you.
I'm not going in the case, right?
Good day to you, ma'am.
Yes, ciao, Your Majesty.
Jove, Watson, that it should have come to this. The ruler of the United Kingdom and the Empire reduced to a music hall ventriloquist.
Well, actually, I thought she was rather good for an amateur.
Terrible material, though, isn't it? How many times have we seen the reciting of the alphabet while drinking a glass of water routine? Come on, tell me.
Gentlemen, have you come to any conclusions?
Well, Her Majesty has definitely been pushed right to the edge.
One wheel short of a hackney carriage, I'd say.
Yes, you would, in your usual subtle way. I'd like to take this anonymous letter back to our holiday lodgings for further study. I might find a clue.
Holmes?
What is it, Watson?
We didn't look on the other side of the envelope earlier.
What of it?
Look what's written on the back.
If undelivered, please return to Fred Dangle, 31 Cobblers Terrace, Camberwell. What kind of a person sends an anonymous letter with a return name and address on it?
A stupid one.
I don't understand how we missed that, Mr. Holmes.
Neither do I. My acute eye usually picks up such details. We shall now return to our holiday lodgings. Come, Watson.
Good day to you, gentlemen. I must say, I feel a bit of a Charlie missing that important clue.
Charlie Parker Bowles. Somehow those two names go together, don't they? Good day to you.
Dear reader of this journal, I bade farewell to my companion and boarded a coach to Aberdeen, where I took the sleeper to London. It arrived punctually the following morning at Waterloo, an amazing achievement, really, as it should have arrived at King's Cross. Not wishing to waste any time, I went straight to the address we had discovered written on the back of the envelope.
Yes?
Excuse me, is this the residence of a Mr. Fred Dangle?
No, it's not.
This is 31 Cobblers Terrace, Camberwell.
No, this is 214 Cod Liver Oil Mews, Arsenal. Push off.
Just as I thought. 31 Cobblers Terrace, Camberwell doesn't exist. Holmes and I have been led on a wild goose chase. I shall return to Baker Street. I shall also stop talking to myself in the street in case two men in white coats cart me off to the loony bin. Oh, home at last.
You are, Dr. Watson. I've just received your wire to say you were coming back from your holiday alone. What's the matter, then? Have you and Mr. Holmes had a lover's tiff?
Mrs. Hudson, I do wish you'd stop jumping to these fanciful conclusions that Holmes and I are, well, you know, latent window dressers. Damn it, woman, we both smoke pipes.
Don't get your... Oh. you've got a visitor, or rather Mr. Holmes has. That's who he comes to see.
Oh, who is it?
Well, he didn't say. He's a Scotsman. Ginger hair, huge red beard, wild eyes in a kilt.
Funny place to keep his eyes. You left him alone in our apartments to plunder our valuables?
No, I put him in the kitchen. He's been warming his hands on me arga. Mr. Scotchman, this here gentleman is...
Oh, can you don't tell me? You must be the great man himself. Sherlock Holmes?
Yes, that's me, Sherlock Holmes. Brilliant detective, master of disguise, and toppy-nosed pants. Yes.
Permit me to introduce myself. I am the Laird of Braemar, Hughie Tosson McCabe, and I'm here on a matter of a highly delicate and confidential nature. So important that I have traveled all the way from the Highlands to Baker Street, and my trusty velocipede, stopping only for a wee while to wet my whistle and mend a puncture in my rubber ring. These saddles are awful hard, you can.
By Jove, and this method is faster than the train?
No, laddie, but cheaper.
You must be famished after such a long journey. I shall get Mrs. Hudson to prepare you some supper.
No need, laddie. Before I left, my dear friend, the local restaurateur, Ronald McDonald, made me a quarter pound of grouse burger.
Toasted buns?
Yeah, they feel like that after 18 hours on a... But enough of these Dickensian one-liners. I am here because I need the services of the legendary Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, of course. Well, his fee... my fee is 4 guineas a day plus expenses.
4 guineas? I heard you only charge 3, Mr. Holmes.
Ah, yes. Well, he's... I've had to put my prices up. Overhead, you understand.
Overhead?
Ah, yes. New deerstalker. The old one's got the mane.
Yeah. Don't doubt it.
Fancy.
Mrs. Hudson, I'd forgotten you were still here.
Yes, and so had the audience. There's nothing more for me to say. I might as well be going.
We shall be going ourselves in a wee moment, Mrs. Hudson Hen.
Going where?
To Buckingham Palace and highly secret business.
By Jove, does it concern Her Majesty the Queen?
All in good time, Mr. Holmes. Before we go, I shall have to ask you to put on a disguise. Please excuse me while I lift up my kilt.
Thank you. Oh, I say.
I have it here in my sporran. There.
So I see. I'd adjust your sporran if I were you, Mr. Tosson.
Oh, my humblest apologies, madam.
That reminds me, I forgot to put my sprouts on.
What are these things you've just taken out of your sporran and put on the table?
Your disguise, laddie. Ginger hair, red beard, and a kilt so you can look exactly like me.
Why should I want to look exactly like you?
Oh, God, this man asks more questions than Jeremy McPaxman. Just put your disguise on.
Very well. There. So, what do you think?
Perfect. You could be my doppelganger.
Your what?
It's an old Gaelic word meaning a double.
Well, you mean like the gins I have during happy hour at the Crown and Septic?
Yes. Nay, lassie, it means a lookalike. Sherlock Holmes now looks just like me, only shorter. And now he's put his disguise on, I shall take mine off. Stand back while I reveal myself anew.
Look. Sir Massey, it's Mr. Holmes.
But it can't be. Isn't this Mr. Holmes standing here, now disguised as the Laird of Braemar's twin brother?
Ah, yes, I can explain.
You can explain what you intended doing with the extra guinea you were going to charge me, Watson.
Well, you see,
we have much work to do.
Well, why the mystery? Why have you come back to your digs looking like an explosion in a tartan mattress factory?
A most descriptive simile, Mrs. Hudson. I will answer your questions. It was imperative that my presence back in London remained undetected. Yeah, you'd better sit down, the pair of you. Here comes the long bit.
Oh, God.
Come back. Now, when Watson and I arrived in Braemar on our holiday, our presence caused concern among members of a certain faction operating from within Balmoral itself. They mistakenly thought we were on to them and had to find out how much we knew, hence our invitation to meet the Queen.
Is this going to take long? I've still got to put my sprouts on.
The real Queen Victoria is tiny in stature. Needless to say, when seated on the throne, she's even tinier.
Aren't we all?
Thank you. The envelope Parker Bowles gave us when we first arrived had no sender's name and address on the back.
That was added whilst we were having our audience with what must have been a facsimile queen.
Great Scott.
No, quite small in English, actually.
Obviously meant to lead us on a false trail, eh?
Yes, but they hadn't read my published monograph on the subject, entitled Typographical Characteristics and Styles and Their Uses in the Compilation of Anonymous Threatening Letters.
I'd better get on with Miss Sprout.
Desist from your culinary duties for one further moment, Mrs. Hudson. I discovered the letters pasted onto the anonymous note were cut from the AA handbook.
AA handbook?
Arsenal Anarchists Movement. 214 Cod Liver Oil Mews, Arsenal.
Good grief. That's the place I inadvertently ended up at when I went to the wrong address earlier this afternoon.
Exactly. We have discovered a plot to kidnap the real Her Majesty and send a number of duplicate queens to various ceremonial functions to act irrationally and thus bring the monarchy into disrepute. You must be asking yourself how I came to these conclusions.
I was thinking about Mrs. Hudson Sprouts, actually.
Finger, say hello to Watson's eye.
Oh, that hurt.
A poked finger in the eye usually does, Watson. After you left Braemar, I arranged with the local magistrate to put a tap on Balmoral's speaking tube system.
So that's how you learned of the plot.
I also learned that the movement had relocated their operations to the Queen's London residence, i.e., to wit and viz, Buckingham Palace.
No.
Yes. That's why I do not wish it to be known that I have returned.
Are you saying this AA movement has infiltrated Buckingham Palace and kidnapped the Queen?
Ah, Mrs. Hudson, so you put your sprouts on the back burner, so to speak, have you? I cannot answer that question until I've decoded this letter the Braemar postmistress intercepted on my behalf.
It's in code, eh, Holmes? Mm. We haven't had to crack one of those in ages.
Ah, this is the letter.
Let me see. Ah, a numerical code.
Yes, indeed. An extremely complex one, by my reckoning. Possibly similar to the one used by Prussian spies during the Napoleonic campaign of 1806. Each number refers to the letters of the Prussian alphabet, but only in blocks of three. All words with four letters or more are reversed, requiring a mirror to decipher them. But only if one has a knowledge of Prussian and Outer Mongolia.
Outer Mongolia?
Yes. Note the punctuation. Only the Mongols use that style. The outer ones, not the inner ones, you understand. The code was used in the case of the cross-eyed whippet, you know, which I solved in 2 days.
Yeah, let's have a look at that letter.
You won't be able to make head or tail of it.
Like Holmes said, it's all meaningless figures.
Yes.
Oh, no, it's not. Look at the numbers. 4, 5, 1, 18. Gap. Then 13, 15, 17, 9, 1, 18, 20, and 25. Well, it's obvious, isn't it? A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, D is 4, and so on.
Don't be ridiculous, woman. Only a moron would use a code like that.
Well, he must be a moron, then. Probably from Outer Moronia. The first two words is Dear Moriarty.
What? Let me see that letter.
Oh, get your hands off. I've worked it out and just listened. Dear Moriarty, as Holmes is still in the islands, I think we should proceed with the final phase of our fiendish plan in London. I suggest we do it on Thursday, under the cover of the Queen's Royal Garden Party and barbecue, if wet indoors. Yours sincerely, P.B. Brackets. Deputy leader of the Arsenal Anarchists. Now I'll put me sprouts on.
I still can't believe I'm actually walking up to the front door of Buckingham Palace, Holmes.
Just remember, we're here to do a job of national importance, not to enjoy ourselves. Now, ring the bell. Yes?
Oh, greetings, my good man. We're here for the wee Queen's Royal Garden Party and barbecue.
You have your invitations.
But of course, here you are. As you can see, I am the Laird of Braemar, Hughie Tossin McCabe, and this is my wee twin brother, Shuey Tossin McCabe.
Och, hi, the new Hootsman already.
He lived in Golders Green for many years, you know.
I'm Parker Bowles, assistant to the Queen's private secretary. You'd better come in, gentlemen. Before you proceed, I need to do a body search for security purposes. Feet apart, please.
You'll find nothing up there but my holiday money.
Now, you may proceed. Straight down the corridor and through the double doors into the garden. Have a nice day.
Well, the Queen looks normal enough, Holmes. She's pulling faces at Gladstone behind his back.
Yes. When Parker Bowles comes over, I'll get him to introduce us. Ah, here he is. Mr. Parker Bowles, would you be so kind as to introduce us to Her Majesty? I do not wish to appear forward, you understand?
Of course. Ma'am, may I present to you the Laird of Braemar and his twin brother?
Your Majesty, hen, it is indeed a great honor to make your acquaintance at last.
Strange how we've never met, considering the close proximity of Balmoral to your village. Gladstone!
Your Majesty!
Throw another side of venison on the barbie, will you? There's guests spitting cobs here. We haven't met, have we?
Alas, no, but I think you have entertained my son and his wee bairn.
Your son and his wee bairn?
Aye, that's right, the new. Did you know, Ken, my big brother here is a grandad?
A grandad?
No, not really. We just wanted to hear you say that.
I see. Well, if you'll excuse me, I have to circulate. I'll get Parker Bowles to bring you some wine and a pheasant butty.
Well, there's just one other thing, Your Majesty.
Yes?
Holmes! Oh. Holmes, have you gone raving mad? You just goosed the Queen.
Watson, rip off the Queen's garment.
I'm having no part of it, Holmes.
Then with my free hand, I shall do it.
I will not fool you again,
Well, it'll be the worst for you.
By gad, you were right, Holmes. It's Moriarty.
The Queen's doppelganger.
You think you're so clever, Holmes, but you haven't reckoned with my ultimate weapon. Parker Bowles, reveal yourself.
Great Scott. Another Moriarty.
That's impossible. How can you both be the same person?
Simple. One of us is a doppelganger of the other.
I shall arrest both of you.
You and whose army? Here, boy, come by, come by.
Stop them, someone! Both Moriartys are getting away!
Dear reader of this journal, who would have thought the dastardly Moriarty would yet again escape the clutches of my friend Sherlock Holmes? And with the assistance of the royal corgis, used to great effect to create a diversion. A cruel blow for justice, indeed. The government was far from happy. Where was the real Queen Victoria? A search of Buckingham Palace failed to find her, and there were fears the press might get hold of the story. Then the events of the day took an unexpected turn. Back at 221B Baker Street, Holmes decided to fetch a bottle of his favorite wine from Mrs. Hudson's cellar. I was seated at her kitchen table.
Watson, come down here quickly.
What is it, Holmes?
Look, Watson, by that case of Chateau Neuf to Baker Street.
Well, burst me bridges. It's not, is it?
It is. Her Gracious Majesty, Queen Victoria. You remember Mrs. Hudson's letter to us when we were on holiday? How she mentioned that a member of the palace staff had visited here to find me.
Yes, I remember.
My guess is the man was in on the plot, and the Queen was smuggled down here, drugged and bound, while he was engaging Mrs. Hudson in conversation.
Good Lord.
Your Majesty, wake up. You're in safe hands now.
What? Where am I?
In the company of Sherlock Holmes, Your Majesty.
Not the world-famous toffee-nosed Fontes.
The very same, madam.
Oh, Albert will be dead chuffed.
What?
He's here with me. Say hello to Sherlock Holmes, Albert.
Yeah, Roy. Give me a guttle of gear. I want a guttle of gear. I'm not going back in the guttle. I'm not.
Come along, Watson. Let's inspect Mrs. Hudson's Brussels.
There you go. That was the newly discovered casebook of Sherlock Holmes. The part of Sherlock Holmes was played by Mr. Royston Hudd, Dr. Watson by Mr. Christopher Emmett, and Mrs. Hudson and other feminine characters were depicted by Miss June Whitfield. The portrayal of Professor Moriarty and a multitude of other masculine characters was rendered by Mr. Geoffrey Whitehead. At the pianoforte was Mr. Ian Smith. The dialogue was scribed by Mr. Anthony Hare, and the entire extravaganza was produced by Mr. Christopher Neal.